Once again, I would desire to draw your attention to the words you will find in the 26th chapter of the prophet Isaiah, verses 3 and 4. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. You'll remember that we ventured upon these words this morning, but we felt we only touched on the fringe of those things in which are contained therein. May the Holy Spirit be pleased to lead us a little more fully into those things which shall be profitable to our souls. We've spoke concerning this peace. Was a peace that according to the word here is perfect. That there was nothing that could be added to it and nothing that could be taken away. Well, through our journey here below, we shall often want to witness this peace, though we hope we have been recipients of it in the past. It doesn't mean that peace has diminished. That is to say, that peace which we hope we were in possession of when we were delivered from the law and all its damning power, when we were delivered from the powers of darkness. So we have witnessed and proved that it has been a perfect peace in the perfectness of him who is perfect and obtained it by a perfect redemption and a perfect deliverance. Everything that is embodied in a precious Christ is perfect and must remain perfect through time and in eternity. But there will be, as I was saying just now, times when we should want the renewings of that peace in our souls. Days of darkness, which we read in God's word, shall be many. Do you find it true, sinner? Can you say concerning that word that it is perfectly true in my experience? But you know, though these days of darkness may be many, yet through the peace, even Christ who brought our peace, he being that eternal, an everlasting light, he will arise again with healing in his wings. He will shine forth again in those times of darkness. And though your pathway, even now, may be as dark as beamless night, once as wild through darksome paths we go, we may know no reason, yet we shall hereafter know, each in his due season. Oh, that there might be an hereafter, this very night, for some poor dark benighted sinner, that this may be, there may be that light shine into your poor dark heart. This will be an hereafter to you, won't it? That is to say, off to the dark night that the hereafter. Oh, what a mercy to have these hereafters in a life journey. How when we prove that he is that light, that eternal light, that light that shines for our dark path. Oh, those many times in our lives when we have had to walk these dark paths, long, long, long nights of darkness and destitution, with a weakly body it may be, and everything in providence going against us, till we seem ready to give up all and perish. Yea, and Satan endeavoring to cause us to do the act that we might perish. That's how deep, my friends, that all do not have to walk quite so deep, but he's still the same devil, has the same craft and deceit, that we are not proof against his evil devices. But God, who brings our peace, is that one that overthrows all his craft, his devices to destroy. Oh, those blessed days of trial. Some might say blessed days, yes, when he comes in the hereafter. When he comes and causes the dark night to flee, when it may be your flickering fame behold him coming over the horizon. I mean this, when there is just a chink of light begin to arise in your heart, and you begin to feel a little buoyancy in your spirit, so that you hope this will be the day when, or the time when, he will arise. Well, he does arise, and he arises and shines. The same God then that brought our peace is he that permits the darkness to come, that you and I might enjoy that sweet peace in our souls at his coming, when he shines in all his beauty, in all his glory, as far as it is, as we are unable to behold it, like the dear disciples upon the mount. You know they feared as they entered the cloud, but they beheld his glory, that is to say, as far as they were able to bear it. For I am sure that we in our flesh could not bear the sight of the full blaze of his glory as he is enthroned in heaven above. But he does now and then come and shine into our dark hearts and upon our crooked path. And then we are unable to say, with the dear woman whose case was so urgent, she said, "Slack not thy pace for me." And when she came to the prophet, and the question was asked, "Is it well with thine husband? Is it well with the child?" "It is well." Oh, what a mercy to be able to say, "It is well," in our present difficulties or trials, soul trouble, to be able to say it is well, knowing that he who is that one that brought our peace can again come and shine forth. Oh, to be able to say, then it is well. I'm sure we shall not always be able to say it, because there'll be times when our trials or the days of darkness may be uppermost, I came here this morning feeling much darkness. But you know, we cannot command the light, neither can we turn him from his purpose. But he does show us, I believe in this, that when he permits these dark nights to come upon us, it is that we shall appreciate the light, appreciate his visits, appreciate his love, appreciate his mercy. So that there will be those fruits following this peace in our hearts. It may be a long while coming to pass in our experiences, but I'll tell you what it will do as a living witness to it. It'll subdue our wicked nature. It'll bring down our haughty pride. It'll bring down all those things which once we delighted in or were overcome with. For it is God alone that subdues wretched nature, overthrows the wrath within, and brings us into a place where we never expected to come. Oh, it's an unspeakable mercy if we have the fruits attending the shining of the light, shining into our dark hearts and discovering the evils that we have in our hearts, and then giving us the power to forsake them. Oh, how some of us remember the bitter days when we were in that condition, and how we used to cry unto God to be delivered, and yet could not flee from it, no more than we could fly from a serpent. Some of us know that path to a great degree. Sovereign mercy alone and nothing else could have accomplished and overcome the powers and gained the victory and brought us peace. So that when God does these things, it's a perfect peace, it's a perfect work. So that, I believe I already stated, there's nothing can be added to it, and it's certain that nothing can be taken away. Oh, what a peace it is. Well then, there's not only the days of darkness, but there are the days of temptation. And this word temptation can be looked at from the angle of all our trials and difficulties. Those things that come upon us, as our dear Savior in the prayer that he told his disciples to pray, lead us not into temptation. Oh, how we desire that he will not lead us then into those things that shall be against him, or those things that shall be to dishonor him. So that we need him to keep us, daily keep us from this bewitching world that hath to death 10,000 old. Keep us from the false professors of religion who delight to have an easier path or attempt to get an easier path to heaven, when it's so clear there is no easy path. And such will find, if left to go on in that way, we're not judges, but if left to go on that way, and even at the gate of heaven there is a road unto hell. But God's people are those whom he has given this peace, will find it to be a way that is true with thorns and briars in the way. You wouldn't need the shoes of iron and brass if it wasn't so. He says, thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days shall thy strength be. And so it is that he gives his people, they're well shod, to walk in that road which he hath appointed for them. However troublesome or trying it may be to the flesh, the way they walk cannot be wrong, for it is the way that he leads his people. For we cannot find throughout sacred writ one that got to heaven in an easy path. We find it throughout the Old Testament, and abundantly clear in the New. Look at the dear apostles. Look at their pathway. Those who proclaim the all-searching riches of Christ. They who proclaimed him to be their peace. Look at dear Paul, how he brought before King Agrippa to give an account of himself. But how wisely, surely God was with him there. And when Christ said, when they bring you before lawyers and magistrates, take note for what ye shall say, which we give you in that hour, what ye shall speak. And so he was enabled to say those things concerning himself and concerning what God had done for him. How then, like you and I, would desire to come before him, witness before those that he was at one time a Pharisee of the Pharisees, brought up at the feet of Gamaliel, that I understand to be in all the wisdom of that religion of the Pharisees. And yet, when the commandment came, sin revived is and I died, what I thought to be unto life was unto death. Oh, the depth of the mysteries of God's truth. So that he having given us eyes to see, ears to hear, so then it is that he has spoken, we hope, through his word to the soul to show us that our peace comes by no other channel, only through his meritorious work, through his life and death, and his ascension up into heaven. There is our mediator, advocate, before the Father. Here is our peace, pleading before the Father for on your behalf, leading that peace that he brought, that peace that was signed, sealed, and ratified, signed by the sacred tree of eternity, sealed by the precious blood of Christ. Thy peace on earth is sealed by the Trinity. Thy peace was signed by the precious blood of the atonement. Blessed peace, that peace that passeth all understanding, and that peace, though you and I, as I believe I mentioned this morning, may have many battles, yet He being our peace, I will overcome as for and on our behalf. Well, then, these are they whose mind is stayed on him. Their mind is stayed upon those things which he hath done for them, and they are stayed upon him oftentimes as they enter into his earthly courts. Oh, and when we find that precious freedom, that liberty that comes through the blood of the cross, that liberty that liberates us from the shackles that would hold us fast, that glorious liberty that is found in Christ, where we can say, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty in the soul, liberty in the speech, liberty in prayer, liberty in coming unto him. Here it is they are permitted, blessedly permitted, to come boldly unto him at the throne of grace, not in a presumptuous boldness, but in that precious boldness of living faith. Here it is that the invitation that God gives in his word is abundantly known. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. Oh, then, this is obtained only in and through the merits of Jesus, and also by that prayer that is indicted of the Spirit in the soul, when we are enabled to come and ask, Sinner, may I say unto you, burdened as you may be, troubled as you are, there is no other outlet but to come unto him and ask again, and continue to ask, giving no rest until he rise up the prey to take. Though you may feel like the prey into the hand of the fowler, the great leviathan of the bottomless pit, I say again, though you feel to be in the hand of the fowler, and his heart is prey, oh, but Christ in his love, seeing your condition, ask him, cry unto him that he will deliver you from the hand of the fowler. He will come, according to his word, he'll rise up the prey to take. Oh, to that it might be the experience of some poor sinner here, that Christ might come and claim thee as his own, deliver thee from the as the prey from his hand. Though he holds thee fast according unto your feelings, he cannot hold thee one moment longer than God hath determined to deliver you. Oh, I believe in those divine appointments of God in the deliverance of a soul from darkness, to give them peace and to enable them to trust in him. We read in the word, trust in him at all times, ye people. Well, it is at all times, I believe, it means all those times when we are in need of him, feel our need, I mean. We're always in need of him, but feel our need. It doesn't mean call upon him at all times. That means every moment, every particle of the day, for we wouldn't be fit for our daily employments and the daily task that comes upon us. But even there, there'll be times when he'll cause us to cry unto him. All those many times in days past, when burdened and troubled, when laboring for the bread that perisheth, we've had to cry unto him, oh, that thou shouldst do this wretched nature of mine. Oh, that thou shouldst destroy that great and mighty power within, when we had no power whatsoever to subdue it. Ah, you know, God knows how to make us pray. And it'll be so strange to us. He's the author of sin, I don't mean that, but he will come, and he may leave us to go on in our own way, leave him alone. But it's a mercy he doesn't leave us alone altogether, but he sometimes leaves us to struggle in the flesh and struggle in those things here below, and also try to hold both religion and the world in one hand. The time comes when he brings that peace, delivers us from the things of the world and all his enticements, all his pleasures and all his so-called joys. Oh, I've thought so many times with the world. At the close of the day, their joys cease. But blessed be God, there's times when our joys last us. Sometimes we lay our head down upon the pillow at night, that precious joy in our hearts that neither men nor any can give, but God. And sometimes there we are aware, brings us a little joy in our hearts. Well, it isn't all sorrow, is it? It isn't all battling against darkness, battling against those things of the flesh. He comes and subdues them and proves to us that he is able to subdue all things under his feet. While we see not yet all things under his feet, but we see Jesus. A wonderful mercy to see him, isn't it? By faith, that is. We see Jesus, who is made a little lower of the angels to the suffering of death, that he might bring many sons unto glory. And though we see not all things yet put under his feet, but the day will come when his people will see all things under his feet. Solemnly behold that. Yes. Oh, you know, I often think of those words, I will not destroy the righteous with the wicked. In that great day, when he gathers all nations before the great white throne to bring them to judgment, I do not believe that the righteous will see the destruction of the wicked. Oh, what a mercy it is to have this blessed hope within our hearts, that we may, that we shall know something of that peace to the blessed fullness in heaven above. Once that all what sacred joys await them, they shall see their Saviour then. They shall be where there shall be no more dark nights, no more need of those things here below. Oh, how we have, if you read through that, the rest of, or the other chapters in Ecclesiastes, you'll see the wisdom of the preacher, how he sets forth those who have and rest upon the things of the world. But we seek a city. A city at our foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And we look beyond this lower world, We look beyond these things that perish unto him who now is in heaven above. Well then, in the fourth verse, trust in the Lord forever. So there will be a trusting him forever through all life's journey, in every new trial. Oh, say some, that's not easy. Well, it never has been easy. There is no easy way to heaven. But there will be a quiet trusting. Oh, I remember this. When approximately 4 years ago in hospital, that quiet trust. Trust in him at all times, ye people. That quiet trust that none can explain it. Only those who receive it. Not many words here, my friends. Not casting our religion before swine here. No. Cast not thy pearls, sinner, before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. But oh, the secrets of the Lord are with them that fear him. And he comes in those places sometimes where we are alone among the strangers in the world who know not anything of those things that are going on within. But this quiet trust, this passiveness, that arises from trusting in him. So there will then be this trusting in him. And then it gives us encouragement that in every new trial, none of us know the future, what gloomy lines are written for us, or what bright scenes may rise. By this we know that he is the same today, yesterday and forever, and he that has helped us hitherto can help us all our journey through, so that may we be favored. And I do speak this concerning all those that are connected with us, or we do desire that they may know these things for themselves, and that in their trials and difficulties they may trust him and look unto him in every difficulty. And may I say here, there's nothing too little, there's nothing too great. No matter how little a thing it might be, Satan may say, well, that's too simple to take to God. There's nothing too simple. Whatever is troubling thee, sinner, whether it be in providence or in grace, in your daily employment, whatever it is, God will be your defender. He'll give you favor in the sight of those who are in authority over you. This I have proved, that they cannot in any wise do as they will with you, since God is over you and guides you. Oh, how great is our God! How we have proved it, and I speak it from experience, because even in those things there is a trust in him. May I say here how I know that to be true. When working in London, it was often that I was away from work because of sickness. So very often that I feared my employer would never endure it. And many other things which is not the place to speak of them, that took place during the period of 21 years that I feared. But you know, it was proved to me that God was over it all, that all men's hearts were in his hands. And when in need, my dear wife went to see concerning my condition, instead of expecting to be dismissed, he gave her a £5 to come with for this poor sinner. God is in it, you know. We don't let these things lay in forgetfulness and without praises die. I just mention that to show that there is a trusting in him in every trial and every difficulty and in every sorrow. Though it may not be in the depth of exercise as we might think, but deep down in the heart there is a quiet trusting, looking under him and thinking upon him. Even to think upon him at those times is to trust in him. I say we might be looking in over great things, but God hath not promised us great things, only that I want to be right here. They are great things which he gives us, but I mean that he hasn't promised us here on earth great things that we might find them to be a snare unto us. For the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. For in the Lord Jehovah. This word Jehovah here signifies preeminence and majesty and power. So that it is embodied in him even that everlasting strength. So that in your weakness you are made strong. It is in that weakness that he strengthens. All our strength then is in the Lord and in him alone. Had it not been so, we should never endure it. But he does strengthen. He strengthens his people when they are ready to faint. That wine that he said must be put into new bottles. Not into the old man, but into the new, that means. No use to try and put new wine into old bottles, you know. For if it were, it would leak out, and a bottle would burst and become worse. But, you know, new wine, our dear Savior says, be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. Oh, what a mercy it is to have some hope we've tasted a little of that new wine of the gospel that's been poured into the new man of grace, born again of the Spirit, and that of the Spirit of God. So then they are strengthened. And when he comes in that, sees them in their fainting condition, and gives them a taste of that wine, the wine of the gospel, well, he comes, you know, like he did unto the dear man on the way to Jericho, who fell among thieves and was stripped and left half dead. Oh, how he comes to such. He doesn't come just where they are. Is that how you feel, sinner? You want him to come just where you are? Well, he knows where you are. You needn't tell him or dictate unto him or come as an informer on any one thing. He knows it all. But you can come and ask him to come just where you are, and then he will come and pour in the oil of his grace, the wine of the kingdom, that he will lift you up out of your condition. Instead of feeling half dead, you may be full of life, that precious life for the soul within, that you may be strengthened by him. So that he comes and strengthens, and this is an everlasting strength. That is to say, that when once strengthened, it will be repeated from time to time in the soul, and that such will stand before you in heaven in the strength of him that hath gained it for them. Stand complete before the throne of God. Oh, my friends, when I think of the description of the heavenly city, how unspeakably blessed it is to have some humble hope that when the battle's all and victory won, we shall anticipate that peace which passes all understanding, and be able to say now and then here on earth, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to know, it is well with my soul. Oh, to be able to say it, feel it and know it, and then in the knowledge of it, to have that thirst for a heavenly city, once and always be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. There'll be no satisfaction here in the world. The only satisfaction we shall have in this world will be when the Savior comes and delivers us, and for the time being we shall be satisfied with his work in our soul, but full satisfaction in all its blessedness and greatness will never be known until we come into the realms above and see him as he is. He of whom we've had a glimpse of here below in the world, and in our own souls a little here and there. Then I say, in the world a few sorrows here, a few trials here below, a few more days or months or years, in this darkness to complain, we shall bid adieu to fears, bid adieu to all those things, my friends, here at Acropolis. Nevertheless, God is a sovereign, and he hath an appointed time for men on earth. One says, I know the appointed time, will I wait till my time comes. Amen.